Hello, my name is David Thompson from the Fraser Valley in British Columbia. For those that are new, I want to share with you how I will be sharing these messages. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." We are, when we come together in assembly, to speak to one another in such a way that we facilitate allowing God to speak through us. Now, how does that happen? It happens out of a heart set and a mindset of worship. It says in Revelation 19:10, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." When we speak as the oracles of God, we are speaking prophetically. Now, the Word of God says that His Word is as silver that is purified seven times. Some of us in our walk may be having still a lot of dross in our lives, and there may be a certain portion that really is of God that comes out when we seek to edify one another and to speak as the oracles of God. Others may have been put through many trials and refinements in their lives so that when they speak very much what the Spirit of God is speaking. And of course, then, there are those that are specially called to be prophets, and those that have been totally purified, such as the ones like Elijah and Moses, and ones in the New Testament that were men of God, like Paul the Apostle. These spoke as the oracles of God. But we are all to seek to speak as the oracles of God. And that verse I quoted in Revelations shows that it is out of worship that the spirit of prophecy flows. And so it is out of a heart set of worship where we are in love with God and there's great humility and reverence before God that we speak so that the Lord is able to come through us. That's why it says that we're filled with the Spirit when we sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in Ephesians. Elijah in 2 Kings 3:15 is called for by the two kings that are greatly distressed because their armies look like they're about to be annihilated by the enemy because they got themselves in a situation where they were without water and greatly weakened. And they called for Elijah. And what does he call for? He calls for a minstrel. And the minstrel plays a harp, and as she plays that harp, or he or whoever it is, he is drawn into worship. And out of that worship, he prophesies. And so we are to seek to speak to one another as the oracles of God. Especially, this is the case with leadership. And it is so lacking nowadays. We have our little program, and we want to do this now and this now, and there's a place for teaching and all of those things. But it says in Matthew 24, towards the end, "Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing." What? Giving the sheep their portion in due season. So I want to speak today what God, by His Spirit, is saying to the churches. Today is October the 9th of 2021. What is God saying to the churches, the assemblies throughout the United States? What is He saying where I live here in Canada, in the Fraser Valley and throughout Canada? What is He saying to the churches here and to the churches around the world at this particular time when there is such obvious evil in high places and such crisis that we are facing that is unprecedented? And I'm not going to get sidetracked talking about all that's going on right now. So what I do to facilitate speaking as the oracles of God is I cast lots to get two different chapters from the Bible. I do this with two independent random applications on the internet. One's called the Random Bibleizer that I use. I do use other ones. And the other one's, I think, called randombible.org. However, I get the possibility of any chapter from the Bible twice, so that I get two chapters, and then those two chapters, I seek to discover what is in them that is common, so that a theme comes forth. And time again, this is far, I believe, beyond coincidence. Sometimes it's very pronounced. Often it is very pronounced. So I got two chapters today, and at first I couldn't see any commonality at all. But as soon as I started to meditate, I saw a definite theme in both of those chapters. So I will be sharing and speaking, and what I do is I meditate on those two chapters for half an hour, and then usually speak almost immediately after. Sometimes I have a nap, this time I didn't. So all I did was paste some of the scriptures to read. I do that because I don't want to trust in anything but to allow God to, by His Spirit, speak through me what He is wanting to say by His Spirit to the body of Christ for this particular time. And certainly to you as an individual, this equally applies. I need to just take a drink, water. I get a little dry at the beginning, so once or twice, and then I'm fine. It's very scriptural to cast lots. It was done extensively by Moses, by Joshua, by King David, by Solomon, many others in the Old Testament. It was done by the early church. It was done in church history extensively by the Moravians, which were a powerful movement of revival. You can check it out yourself. Of course, if you're not walking right with God and you're living in sin, then it would be divination. But if you repented and you're in a love relationship with God, if He leads you that way, He might use you that way. I know God's using me this way. Even the song I pick is picked by the casting of lot. Sometimes I don't like the song because I can't find the words to show you, or because it's a very monotonous old hymn, and then I'll see another hymn nearby and I'll realize that God in His providence allowed me to get this hymn in the hymn book, maybe so I would run into this other one. So that's kind of the case today. I could tell you what the hymn is that I did get. I think it was... Oh, I closed the hymn book, so I won't bother guessing at it. So first of all, I do want to sing the hymn, which I've never heard before. I mean, I have a hymn book of 1,080 hymns from throughout church history, and also some from the underground church in China from the past under Watchman Nee's work. And I cast lots on that. And sometimes on worship songs from I have 177 of those from different churches I've been to, one particularly where there's a lot where they were very gifted in music and worshiped in the Spirit. Now I want to share with you what God is saying today by His Spirit. And so we'll first start with this song, particular song. So I will bring that up here. Hell. I don't know this song myself, but you can read the words. The words are significant. So here we go. Thank you. rise up and show strength.
People who thus know their God will take action and move. We will spread your Lord through the earth, or make us faithful through the earth. Our life and our all
be utterly spent for the church to the glory of Jesus.
Bring your kingdom to
hearts are burned with fire for you, Lord. Fight the spiritual war. They descend as mighty ones.
Oh, Lord Jesus, capture our hearts. Lord, make your desire our desire.
So this is certainly a psalm that fits with what God is saying today from his word to the body of Christ. And so I want to share with you what those two scriptures are, chapters are that I received today, but also because I've had a lot that I've been doing to help someone and other things. This is the only message this week, so I do want to show some of the things that God spoke to me about as I cast lots prior to today and earlier in the week. But today I received Daniel chapter 4 and Acts 27. They seem miles apart, but they're not. They're not at all miles apart. Some of you might be reading the notes there and begin to recognize what the commonality is, but let me just tell you what the common theme is. In Daniel chapter 4, we have Nebuchadnezzar being humbled. It's the dream where the tree is cut down and then a band is put around the stump of the tree. And Nebuchadnezzar, of course, even though Daniel gave him the interpretation of the tree, being that he would be humbled so that he came to realize that it is the God that is in heaven that rules in the affairs of men. And so as you know, Nebuchadnezzar kind of went insane and started to behave like an animal. And this happened to him seven times, as the dream said that it would pass over him seven times. Seven times he's humbled. But he then acknowledges to the whole of his kingdom in a letter that he acknowledges the God of Israel, Yahweh, the Almighty's One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that he is the one that rules in the affairs of men. So that is Daniel chapter 4, basically. And in Acts chapter 27, we have Paul the Apostle being taken by the centurion as a prisoner on the boat to Rome. And as he's on his way, there's this tremendous storm that takes place. Paul the Apostle told the centurion and all the people, I'm warning you, do not leave this harbor. If you do, there's going to be serious loss. But they didn't listen to Paul. And so they went through a terrible, basically, hurricane, which lasted for 2 weeks, where they were eating nothing for 2 weeks, because you don't want to be having food and pooing all over the place, I suppose I should put it that way, crudely. When you're being tossed all over in the ship and there's a storm, and so they didn't eat food for 2 weeks while they're in this terrible storm casting out everything in the ship. And then the angel of the Lord appears to Paul and tells him that everyone in the ship will be saved. And he stands before the whole ship after they've been fasting for 2 weeks and tells them. And at that point, as I was reading it, tears filled my eyes as God's Spirit touched me, because as he told them this, they knew the truth. They knew that the God of Paul the Apostle was the one true God. As he shared, the angel of the Lord stood beside me this night and told me that not one of you will be lost, but that only the ship will be destroyed. And so this is what happened. They came upon the island of Crete, which is now, I believe, is known today. I'm not sure if that's the name of the island. Pardon me, I might be mistaken by that. But they came on this island, and they ran the ship ashore where they saw a river going into the island, or a stream going into it. And it broke apart, the part that was sticking out towards the heavy waves, and they all managed to swim, that could swim, and the others that couldn't swim took things, and they all ended up on that island safe, just like Paul said. So what is the commonality between these two chapters? What is the theme that God is wanting to speak to the churches from these two chapters? It is this, is that we are living in a time right now when God is humbling people through a time of great trial. He's humbling the church through a time of great trial. Look at the terrible things that are happening with COVID. How they're here in Canada still wanting these passports. Why? Because Trudeau has plainly said, and he's on video saying it, I admire the Chinese dictatorship because they can turn their economy on a dime. Yes, that's his mentality. And what does the Chinese dictatorship have? They have these little cards. Everyone has to have one, and you're graded as to how loyal you are, not to God, but to the government. And if you're a Christian, you get a very low grade, so you can't fly here and so on. What did Trudeau say recently? He said these passports were given out. You're not going to, if you don't get two vaccines, you're not going to be allowed to travel on boat or plane or train. This is a total violation of freedom. And here we have Denmark that's declared freedom. Norway's declared freedom, no cards, nothing. They know that the vaccine against the Delta variants doesn't work. It's been shown that it doesn't work. No, they don't want to acknowledge it here in Canada yet. Nor will you find the news media talking about Norway. Singapore has declared freedom. No more passports there. Even England has now declared freedom and not requiring passports, because they recognize this is a plan to try to control people and have a dictatorship, a communist dictatorship. That's what Trudeau probably wants. I'm sure he does. So we're living in a time of great trial, and that's just one of the things that is a crisis. And of course, Christians here in Canada, especially in Alberta, have been greatly persecuted, pastors put in jail because they didn't want to comply with these illegal laws. Yes, Ezra Levant has got a major court case coming against the powers that be. They're violating the law right now with one of the top lawyers in Canada, and the same thing is happening in the States with America's Frontline Doctors.org. They have major cases coming against the Defense Department and so on. But right now, we're living in a time where there's still this terrible crisis. And it's a humbling process that is taking place in God's people and also in everyone that has any common sense as to what is going on. And there's an awful lot of people that do. I mean, I heard on the radio when I was traveling yesterday in my car, that somewhere in the States, 2,200 doctors and nurses got fired. Now, if they are not willing to take the vaccine and are willing to pay that kind of price, and there's that many, you know there's something very wrong with that vaccine. And there is. And I could go into all the details of that, but this is not what this is about. This is about speaking to what is happening in the body of Christ. If you go to americasfrontlinedoctors.org, you can find out all about that. Okay. But what is God saying? He is saying from these two chapters that just like they would not listen, the centurion would not listen to Paul, nor the people on the ship. They would not listen to him. But when they went through that trial on that ship and were humbled greatly through fasting and so on and brought to their wits' end, they became open and recognized who the true God was that ruled in the affairs of men. The same was the case with Nebuchadnezzar. And when he made that announcement to all the people he reigned over, I now acknowledge that there is one who rules in the affairs of men. I could turn to it, I suppose, and get the exact statements that Nebuchadnezzar made here. I can go back, possibly, maybe not, to Acts 27, but I'll give it a shot here this way. No, not going to go that way. Okay. Well, we can still go to Daniel chapter 4. So I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 4 here. And just quickly look at this portion of scripture where he acknowledges, after he's gone through this humbling process, and it says here, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Watch, Donald Trump will be restored to be president of the United States. The nation has gone through great humbling in the United States, so that we will come to a place where we're so divorced from the loves of this world that the body of Christ comes forth to never be the way it was before when they come together in assembly. They become his bride church. They become the place where God can come and find his resting place of communion and love with his people, where the glory of God of heaven can come down and dwell in our assemblies, and where unto Jesus Christ is the gathering of the people more than unto any program and pastor leading at the front. Not that there isn't a place for that, but there's a new order coming into the body of Christ. And what is that new order? It will not limit the fullness of the headship of Christ from inhabiting the local assembly. And I've written a book on that. I'm not going to get into it much right now. I wasn't planning to talk in the middle of my message about it, but I will point it out. If you go to Amazon, you can get a book called God, Headship, and Body Invasion by David Thompson. Thompson is spelt without a P. And it's all in many wonderful suggestions on what to do so that we bring the glory of God into our assemblies when we gather together. It's got suggestions even as to the hours that we'd be good to have meetings. They're just suggestions. It goes into detail about communion, about water baptism, about many details, about the seven ones of Ephesians, about tongues. But the main thing is that it's calling and pointing out what should be in an assembly in order to facilitate the fullness of the headship of Jesus Christ from inhabiting the local assembly, so that the glory of heaven comes into fullness in our midst in these last days. And we become those like that hymn that we just sung, that know our God and do exploits to reap the harvest that is coming. We go on and we read here about Nebuchadnezzar. Somehow it's electronic stuff sometimes skips and jumps to the top. Sorry about that. Here we go. And all the inhabitants, okay, at the same time my reason returned unto me. Right, I read that. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So what do you think happened at that time? There was a multitude of people as Nebuchadnezzar made this announcement to all the people in his kingdom. There was a multitude of people that came to know Christ. Because if you read at the beginning of Daniel here, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders of the high God that hath wrought toward me. The high God that hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And then he declares what happened to him. So the whole nation, not only his nation, but all the peoples that he ruled over, came to know and seek, many of them, Yahweh, the Almighty's One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, who is Yahweh as well. Just read Genesis 18, where Abraham's giving them all food. There's three angels. He's given them food, and he dresses one of them as Yahweh. Yeah, that's the theophany. Jesus Christ in the flesh before he came in an incarnation through Mary onto this earth. Oh, you know, Jesus Christ can appear just as really as he did to Abraham and eat food to 1,000 people at the same time. There's no, in heaven, there's no limit to time. There are many dimensions of time. Even the people that come out of their body. You see, I'm writing a book on the evidence of life after death and all, not just that, and what people experience from many different backgrounds and religions and all, showing what is deception and so on, and pointing people to the good news of a God who is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, through which only we can be saved. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but through the name of Jesus. Yes, there are people that die and they don't even realize that who they're communicating with is Jesus. That's another topic. What I'm sharing here with you is what is God saying right now by his Spirit to the body of Christ. He is sharing that there is about to be a time of great deliverance in the near future that will cause his name to be exalted in all the earth. And when that happens, there is going to be a great harvest. And for that harvest to be fully reaped, to fulfill God's ultimate purpose, which is his bride, requires that we are in that place where we are fully in love with him. We are his bride church. We are those that as individuals and corporately know our God and do exploits. This darkness that is in all the earth is only to make the light brighter when it comes, so that the glory of what God does is so great. It says in Ezekiel, starting around chapter 36, 37, about a major event that will happen, where God says there that he will be exalted among the nations, but he will become angry with the nations that have come against Israel. And right now we see the scene is being set with Turkey, which is aligning with China. All of that is going to happen. They will come as a cloud against Israel, but God has a plan. He will have rage come in him, and there will be an earthquake. And this is not the destruction of the Antichrist. This happens before. This is the reaping of the great harvest that is described in Revelations chapter 14, where there is first the harvest of souls that is described, and then the harvest of judgment, where The blood comes up in the winepress to the horse bridle, speaking of the great slaughter of the Antichrist and all those people that have come against Christ in the last days as he returns to the earth and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. But we're not there yet. We're on the in the time where this tyranny is seeking to take over the world with a one-world government, but it's not going to exceed this time. It will the next time under the Antichrist. This time it's for the harvest, and that his name will be exalted among the nations. And we see the dominoes already beginning to fall in the United States. If any of you don't know the proper news sources to go to, because you know nowadays the news media is almost completely lying all the time. In fact, it is outrageous, the lies that they are saying as to what is really going on. But if you go to americasvoice.news, you can watch the war room there. You'll get the front line of what is happening in the war room. And they have now over 100 million people watching them every day. 100 million downloads. And it's growing all the time very rapidly. It was only about a week and a half ago, it was 75 million. Now it's up to 100 million. And then there's frankspeech.com. Mike Lindell, and that is very good and very important. There you're getting the truth of what is happening. It is shocking. I'm not here to focus on those things. I am here to tell you and encourage the body of Christ that God is about to move where his people have repented through these trials and have come to acknowledge his total lordship in their lives, his total marriage to them. Not a lordship of duty, no. This is where we fall madly in love with God. I've recently happened to, I haven't known a lot about Heidi Baker, but I recently watched her on YouTube speak her most recent message about, one was called Catch the Fire, and the other was Don't Bargain with God. Man, that woman's in love with God. She's going back to Mozambique. Her friends, her pastors have been tortured. Some of them, their tongues cut out. Martyred, and she's ready to go and be martyred herself. And she's just so madly in love with Christ. And the meeting I saw, those people were so in love. The water baptism, people were in tears. There was brokenness. There was reverence. People were being restored to the genuine fear of God. And that is what God is calling. Also, in this end time move of his Spirit, that we would humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And pray and seek his face, that our churches would become a house of prayer and of holiness again. We worship the gods of amusement because we spend hours watching sports. Is it wrong to watch sports? Am I going to condemn people because they want to relax and watch sports? No. I would be putting people in bondage for mere performance if I did that. But when we're really in love with Jesus, those things are so shallow and empty, we don't want them. But if we've never known what it is to seek God and have breakthrough into his presence, we will only be satisfied with something far less, which is shallow and is a lying vanity. It says of Israel that they hewn out for themselves broken cisterns that could hold no water. And he says to them, what is it? In Isaiah 44, I think it is. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come, buy without money, without price. Why are you spending your labor and your money on what does not satisfy? God is calling his people to find their completeness in him, to seek him till they experience breakthrough in their lives. The Lord spoke to me almost a year ago now, because it was last October. It might be a year by now. I don't know when it was in October. Just gently prodded me, and I was desperate at the time because COVID was just coming out and so on. And he said, if you really want to know intimacy with me, if you really want to know victory in your life, why don't you double your prayer time? He wasn't saying it in a way that I would be condemned if I didn't. But he was saying, come away with me. I want to love you. I want you to know abundance of life. I want you to know victory. Come away with me. Seek me until there's breakthrough. And I did. So I've been praying 3 hours instead of an hour and a half like I've done most of my life. For the last year, and you know what? I'm addicted to it. You lose track of time. You don't dwell on the time. You get caught up in loving God, and you always are on guard against putting merit in spending a lot of time in prayer. It doesn't mean that I can't be flexible. Sometimes I can only do 2 hours. But almost all the time I'm doing 3. And I know that last hour is often when the glory comes down. Now, I suppose if I was just doing an hour and a half, the glory would come down in the last half hour. That's my experience from when I used to pray an hour and a half. But now there's more. There's more. And that's what God's wanting his people. To come to the place where they are humble. Where they can hear what God is saying like the centurion as individuals and corporately as the church, as their local assembly. To hear what God is saying. And to respond with love. And there's going to be a great harvest of souls, because when the Lord bears his arm on the United States and restores Donald Trump, who was anointed to be president and chosen by God like a Cyrus, I'm not saying he's living a perfect Christian life or that he's someone that's close to God. I do not know. I know he has faith in the Lord, and who knows what God's doing in his life. Kim Clement prophesied that he'd have 2 terms. Well, I believe it's coming up. Because right now, the way it's going, this government is going down really fast. And they're polling all shows. Their popularity is less than anyone else in history by far. And people are aware of all the nonsense with the vaccines and the attempt to try to control things, and they're angry and they're ready to do what it takes. And they will pay any price to have liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. The Lord is coming. He's coming soon. He's the one, though. We're not looking up to Donald Trump or anyone else, although God's using them. We are here looking up to God, waiting on him for him to come and bring deliverance. It was interesting because in my research of writing this book, I won't give the title of it yet, what I think I will have as a title, but it's a very in-depth book on life after death. And I was watching a video of a lady. She wasn't someone that knew the Lord, but she wasn't someone that was against the Lord. She was kind of someone that was just innocent in her heart and ignorant of a lot of things that she should know. I don't know why she... But when she died, God showed her in a dimension far greater than this, with a comprehension that you can't have in this world, that there was nothing to worry about all the wars and the suffering that were in the world. That it was totally perfect what God was allowing. That all the negative things, the suffering and the wars and everything in this world were nothing to worry about, because it was all perfect and part of what God was doing for ultimate perfection, and that it was perfect in what was being allowed to happen because of the result that would come out of it. So she knew she could rest without worrying. About, and this is the most recent video, someone that just recently went in this year to be with the Lord, but had a near-death experience not too long ago before she went to be with the Lord. Or, I think she became a believer from what she shared on there, the bit I saw. But I'm just giving you this an example. God, he's got every little detail in control. It may look like everything's totally out of control and the end of the world is coming, but even then, he's the one that rules over it all. And it's perfect for his ultimate purpose. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. to bring in the greatest harvest of souls of those that will not reject the ultimate perfection and manifestation of love, who is God, who could be so great that he could fully project the perfection of his being into this time and space realm and humble himself more than you, a mere creature, and suffer more than you, a mere creature, on the cross, so that you could choose to repent and be reconciled to God. The one true God, the Almighty's one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Yahweh. And he is about to lay bare his holy arm, and we will see the multitudes come against Israel and God bring deliverance. And then he will pour out his spirit on the remnant of those that know him in Israel. And he will pour out his spirit upon his people as never before, and they will go forth and evangelize a great harvest. It says somewhere in one of the minor prophets, Hosea it is, I believe, ask of me rain in the time of the latter rain, and I will give you bright clouds of rain. And we see this cloud of rain described in Revelation 14. Oh, I could turn to it and show it to you, but for time I won't. You can read it there. Revelation 14 does show a chronology of events, because first of all, it has the three angels. The first angel comes out and sounds with a loud voice and says, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein." That angel represents the messengers that God is raising up throughout the earth right now to preach on the genuine fear of God, that God's people would return back to the genuine fear of God and genuinely worship him and love him in spirit and in truth. That is the message God has been giving me and many others. I have a book that's very extensive already, well, written out and just has to be formatted and a few things more, but that's another book. That will be able to be done very fast because it's mostly written. But it's all on the fear of God. And God is calling his people in these days to come into a place where we really know him. I could go in and talk now a long teaching on the fear of God, and I'm tempted to do it, but I know I want to share other things I got this week to point out what God has been saying by his Spirit in this week. The fear of God is not just a mindset and a heart set. It is a choice as well to recognize God for who he really is, in the perfection of his being, which is an ultimate trustworthiness. Anything that is a perception that is less than what results in recognizing an ultimate trustworthiness is not a perception of God, but an idolatrous perception. And what is that perception? It aligns with the conscience that innately knows what is good from bad, and innately knows that what is bad must be judged, that good might prevail. And that points to an ultimate good, who is God. It is the integrity of, it is to the fear of God is to first recognize the integrity of God's love, that it will not tolerate what is contrary to love. Love being that quality that always chooses the highest lasting good over any lesser choice that, as such, would have a measure of corruption in it. It's the agape love, the highest form of love, beyond the filial emotional love, beyond the eros love, a love that always chooses the highest lasting good, and that, as such, is a consuming fire of judgment. Consuming fire of judgment against all that is contrary to this agape love. And that is the holiness of God, the defensive aspect of his being. And until we recognize that that can only be who could be entrusted with ultimate power and life without being corrupted by it or using it in a corrupt way, You could not trust any love that was nothing, anything less than that, that had an integrity that was the very antithesis of corruption. And from that forms the foundation from which springs creativity without corruption that has resulted in heaven where there is no corruption. A place where there's creativity and fellowship beyond your comprehension that is ever enlarging in each individual and corporately with their Creator, the Almighty's One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is calling His people in this hour. You cannot know the mercy of God if you don't see your undoneness in the light of God's holiness and your need of His mercy, your need of His righteousness and not yours. You can't glory in your own sufficiency and your own righteousness. Nor did God ever intend that people should try to be that way, even when He gave the Ten Commandments. Before He gave the Ten Commandments, Abraham feared God and knew this fear of God. He says, I'm but dust and ashes before you, when he's on his face before God, the one that visited him, Yahweh, whom he gave food to, who ate with him, in Genesis 18. The Almighty's One. He is so great, and God loves you so much that He wants you to find your ultimate destiny in heaven forever. It's so wonderful, heaven. Just look up Dean Braxton on the internet. His name is spelled B-R-A-X-T-O-N. That's one example. There's many others. And what he experienced as a genuine Christian who was verified to be dead for an hour and 45 minutes by doctors and medical equipment. Oh, there can be people that can put up phony things on the internet and say they went to heaven. I don't know how many have done that, or if any have done it. But I can tell you this, that if they don't have the evidence concretely that has been confirmed by doctors and medical equipment, you got to be cautious, because the only ones I found, and I haven't found any that have described entering heaven in detail and interacting with the Creator and with animals and with people, except genuine Christians. I haven't found it. There's lots that do meet God, but they don't enter the heavenly city. They might see the outskirts of heaven, but they don't, because they're open to truth in great measure. But again, I'm not getting off on that. I want to now share with you what I received in the other days. On Friday, I received Proverbs 29 and Habakkuk 1 and 2. Well, actually, it was Habakkuk 1, but I realized, and again, remember, God knew I wasn't going to preach on that, so. But, you know, this was basically, you know, I don't remember what the theme was there right now, so I'm going to go to the next one. And this one, it was 1 Timothy 3 and Leviticus 8, and I do remember that. This did have a real strong theme between those two chapters, because the one is on consecrating Aaron the high priest and the priests before God. And in it, they offer a bullock and two rams, and the blood sprinkled on the ear and on the toe, on the right ear, on the right toe, and on the right thumb. And also the anointing oil is sprinkled to separate them from ministry. And there's the ephod, and that's the breastplate, so they can bring. So that's what's there. And then in 1 Timothy 3, it's on the calling of a bishop and what's required of a bishop, which is also someone that is leading God's people. And so what God is saying there is that the leadership must be totally consecrated to Him. They must be able to hear His voice, because they're in such a deep, reverent love relationship with God that their ears are constantly conscious of the fact that they were purchased with the blood of Christ and they're not their own. They must with their hand do only those things that are for the glory of God and walk only where God leads them. And they must have that breastplate on to sense the ephod, the Urim and Thummim that's in the breastplate, to be led by God. In a sense, I'm using the Urim and the Thummim when I cast lots, to be led by God to the right place. This is speaking of how God wants this sensitivity and leadership and this total consecration so that his people are led into the kingdom of God. And in there, Aaron had to stand at the door of the tabernacle for a whole week, and the priests just stand at the door waiting on God for a whole week. And so we are to be on guard as the leadership over the habitation of God, that it is not defiled with the world, so that we end up with programs and things that limit the glory of God from coming into our midst. That's what God was saying there. And then I received Deuteronomy 18 and 2 Peter 3. Now, I don't fully remember what the themes were in some of these, but this is about God raising up Jesus Christ as the prophet of the last days in Deuteronomy 18. And so I've just shared with you briefly some of the things I received during the week. But what God is saying is that he's about to bring deliverance. He is about. We've been going through this storm for some time. It's a terrible storm. People are losing their jobs. It's obvious that there's great corruption and tyranny. People's freedoms are deliberately being taken. They're not even telling people that these other places on the news are free of it. They're trying so hard, but they're not going to be able to. God's going to bring. I'm praying he brings deliverance in Canada, that this evil dictatorship here is overthrown. In each province, there's dictatorship too, where they're abusing these cards, breaking businesses, and not allowing people to see their loved ones. I might not be able to see my mom after October 13th if I don't get another vaccine. But they're so detrimental to one's health. I know God can protect me from it, and if that's what he wants, fine. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do so I can visit mom. But whatever, I'm going to obey him. But we can trust God that he's in control. And there's about to be a mighty harvest. And I want to tell you also that I did write a super abridged book for evangelism called Evolution, Delusion, Solution, which you can get in electronic form on the internet. I also have what is in quite a bit of what's in this book, not all, everything by any means, but it's a lot smaller. I have a small flip book on my website at ultimatemeaning.com that unsaved people can go through, and it draws them into the saving knowledge of Christ. It's got all the evidence against evolution, what's happening in particle physics, and many things. And it's there to point people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You'll see something on the front of this book. I'll read it to you after you can look at it there for a moment. It says, "Evolution applied to infinity, annulled by ultimate order, confirmed by strong empirical evidence of life after death and multiple fields of science." There's a lot in that statement that's in this book. You might not understand it fully, so you'll have to get the book to understand it. You want. That'll help support me. I am in some debt from mistakes I've done in the past where I didn't realize I was deceiving myself and not seeking first the kingdom of God. I was trying to make money on the internet. I'm not saying it's wrong to try to make money on the internet. What I'm saying is God didn't want me to trust in that. He wanted me to put him first fully. So now all I'm doing is writing these books, not doing those other things. So it'd be great if you read those books. And the Life After Death book that's coming out is really going to be super good. I've read Imagine Heaven, and this has got a lot more in many areas in it than that does. It's in-depth research to point people to the truth. So thank you, and God bless you all, and do support me above all in prayer. And thank you. God bless you.